If it feels like you've been hearing about mercury contamination at Grassy Narrows First Nation for years, you are not alone. The poisoning of the English Wabagoon River system in the 1960s and 70s is common knowledge in this region. But a medical student at Queen's University says he was surprised to learn about the ongoing struggles of people in the First Nation who are suffering from mercury poisoning. Adam Mosa says he was working on a research project about the neurological impacts of environmental toxins when he discovered the parallel stories of Minamata Bay in Japan and Grassy Narrows in Ontario. So he's now published an article in the Canadian Medical Association Journal. CBC's Jody Porter asked Mosa to explain the connection between Japan and Canada.
I think one of the most historically interesting elements of this story was the way in which two communities on opposite sides of the globe began suffering from the consequences of mercury poisoning at around the same times. The story in Japan actually has much more international reputation. The situation there resulted from the Chiso Factory Corporation, which is doing bleaching of paper. And it was due to the prevalence of mercury poisoning and the sort of manifestation of very severe neurologic consequences there, that very earnest scientific investigation started in Japan and eventually identified organic mercury as the sort of culprit contaminant. At about the same time in northern Ontario, mercury poisoning was becoming a problem as the result of the Dryden Chemical Company factory, which was situated on the Wabagoon River. The connection between the two came some years later when the international experts on mercury poisoning from Japan were asked to visit northern Ontario in order to perform neurological assessments and investigations to determine whether or not residents of Grassy Narrows were in fact exhibiting symptoms of mercury poisoning as well. And so it was at the request of a journalist, actually, who sat somewhere in the middle of this whole story named Eileen Smith. And her and her husband were in the process of making some photojournalistic stories about mercury poisoning in Japan when Eileen Smith was contacted by residents of northern Ontario. And she formed the bridge because she knew both the Ontario residents, and then she also was in contact with the Japanese physician.
What did you think as you were coming across this? It seems like a strange way to launch neurological research. What did you think when you were digging into that?
There's at least two sides to that. The first is the severity of symptoms from mercury poisoning. I think I had seen previously some of the photos and learned a little bit about mercury poisoning, but going into the actual manifestations and the lingering effects, the way in which it can create not just physical but mental harmful effects, was very saddening as I kind of learned more about the medical aspect of it. And then to learn about the way in which there was, I guess I could say, like a disparate response in Japan and in Canada to what was effectively the same problem. I think, you know, the research sort of brought me into a situation where I felt like I could keep on scratching at the door to kind of look for the next step and what was still outstanding in terms of our knowledge gaps. What probably surprised me the most is that the research can be tracked from those like initial beginnings in the 1960s with the factory dumping mercury all the way up into the present day, and that just months ago in Toronto there were protests. And so it's kind of witnessing an evolution of a story from initially historical and then becoming very much a present day problem as well.
What did you learn from this? How has it changed you to know this?
For me, the degree of, I don't necessarily want to say obfuscation, but the degree to which elements of this story were not readily accessible And the way in which I had to put together lots of different disparate pieces in order to try and come away with one story that synthesized both history in Ontario and the history in Japan made me, I guess, much more appreciative of like source information, and that's as it pertains to like the academic and research side of things. For the people who are living in Grassy Narrows, it's been quite hard to see the degree to which they have attempted to advocate and create noise around the issue on so many occasions in order to kind of call attention to what's been going on with their water supply and with their food supply. And despite that, there hasn't been a lot of action at the present time. And so it's been, for me, I guess, a bit of a learning point in persistence and in trying to, you know, elicit support from different groups. So, for example, in writing this article for the CMHA, I'm hoping to bring this issue into collective awareness of more people, especially people in the medical field.
Thanks for the interview.
Thank you very much.
That's Adam Mosa, medical student at Queen's University. His article is in the Canadian Medical Association Journal titled The Interwoven History of Mercury Poisoning in Ontario and Japan.